Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Healers is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to live a happy, healthy life. As such, this is the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine to provide life guidance and help people connect through emotion with their natural inner state of health. With this radio and the help of all our guests and followers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lives online. Listen to your favorite spiritual and master teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. My name is Luciana Stiglitz. I'm the founder of Inner Healers, and I will be your host in this adventure. May you allow yourself to enjoy it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Inner Healers Radio. Our topic for today is attract your divine life partner through the knowledge of your Akashic records. Your divine life partner is the soul that you've built into your soul's blueprint or Akashic record to evolve with throughout your purpose-aligned life in partnership. That is, through partnership, you can support each other's growth, remind each other of your greatness, and commit to being together for life to facilitate that with love, truth, and integrity. Our guest for today is Jennifer Longmore. She's a social worker who from early age felt the need to help others in their path. Having been raised in a spiritually open home, it was not strange for her to talk to the masses about healing, equality, and world peace since the age of 3. After working as a forensic social worker in child welfare, she created Soul Journeys to support others in aligning to their soul's purpose. Help me welcome Jennifer. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. Thanks much for being our guest today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm really excited.
So for our listeners who might be listening to you for the first time through this show, can you please tell us about you and the benefits of your work? How is it that you learned to connect since an early age with the spiritual world?
Absolutely. Well, I grew up, as you mentioned, in a very spiritually awake home. My grandfather was a psychic that solved crimes with the police as a psychic medium. And my parents and I went for our first past life regression when I was 4 because they wanted to know why we all came together in this lifetime, what our unfinished contracts may be, and what we were here to create in this particular lifetime together. So it wasn't until I went off to school and realized that not everyone spoke this way that I had to try and find a way to navigate my way through the world. And but I always had access to the Akashic records. I always had access to my guides, and I was pretty angry at times with the universe, with my guides for giving me a gift and not necessarily feeling supported, you know, feeling like a real outsider. And I'm sure many people listening can relate to that because there's no real blueprint for living this way, especially as a child. So I eventually received a message one day. I actually had a recurring dream for 2 weeks when I was still working in forensics, and it was this ancient text with really beautiful writing, but the pages were flipping so quickly that I couldn't read what was on it, but I knew in my bones that I had to know everything that was in this book, and I had to know right away. And eventually one day, my guides, I just kind of commanded to my guides that they make sure that I remember what they're telling me when I'm asleep, when I wake up. I want to remember what this book is about, why they're showing it to me, and that was it. So that night, sure enough, I heard, these are the Akashic records. You must learn them so that you can teach them. I took a nice deep breath because I could finally sleep, and I knew I'd be able to remember them when I woke up the next day, and that was that. And then I started offering readings. People started asking me how to teach them. And eventually I created a certification program to help people do what I do in the spirit of, you know, they loved it so much and they noticed how much their own life was transforming. They wanted to be able to share that gift with other people.
In your experience, how would you define the term Akashic Records?
Well, Akashic Records, in its plainest definition, is just an energetic document, basically an energetic space that records or imprints every thought we have, every action we take, every deed we put out in the world, and it categorizes it, and it makes it easy for our guides to pull that information up for us so that we can receive information about why we're here, what we've done in the past that maybe creates certain situations now, how we can heal it, how we can better serve our bodies, how we can attract our soulmate. You know, any possible question that you would want to ask is going to be in your records. And it will guide us on what's happened in the past and how we can shift that. It'll help us clear soul contracts that we have that are no longer serving us in this lifetime. It'll help us release phobias, and it'll help us also manifest and create the future that we do want. So when I attracted my divine life partner, I went into my records and made sure that I was clean. You know what I mean? That in a very positive way. I cleaned up any stuff that was in the way of me calling that in and calling that in with ease. So I have a really magical relationship. I know it kind of sounds like a fantasy when I say that, but I really do have a very, very fulfilling life partner and or life partnership with my life partner, who I adore and admire and really can't imagine spending my life with anyone else.
That is really beautiful. So you've done hundreds of Akashic Records readings. What would you say
thousands
are the benefits of this work? How does doing this help humanity?
Absolutely. Well, every time we go into our Akashic Record, there's a vibrational alignment, I should say, that happens, right? So we're connecting with the energy of our soul. We're reawakening that part of us that we say, oh, there I am. There's my home. You know, we have a sense of homecoming. That in and of itself can be very supportive to us as humans living this three-dimensional experience, because we can feel like we're floating around in a bubble, like we're just kind of trying to get through life and not understanding this whole world and not finding the right words to articulate how we're feeling, and feeling like it may just be easier to communicate telepathically, and all the things that we can feel when we're spiritual beings trying to live on this physical plane. So that in and of itself can be very helpful. And then any divine guidance we receive, of course, is of high service, because why would we try to figure things out through our ego mind when we can connect in with the divine mind and receive guidance that's way more aligned to our soul's purpose? And then on top of that, we can uncover any blocks that we may have or any shifts that we want to make so that we can create what we're choosing to create. Because the thing is that we're conscious co-creators. And even though there's a lot of information built into our records, we still get to choose. We still have free will, and we get to decide what we want for our soul's growth.
You mentioned your divine life partner. Could you please explain mm-hmm. this term to our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that happened, I noticed very soon into doing readings on a regular basis for folks, that one of the major questions people were asking was, is this my soulmate, or when is my soulmate coming in? And we have an abundance of soulmates. A lot of times our soulmates are the ones that feel like sandpaper on our skin. You know, they're there to kind of ruffle some feathers and to bring things to the surface. And that's great, and they serve us, but our soulmates are not necessarily the people we're meant to be in romantic love with. They can be, but they're meant to help us grow. On a very deep soulful level, our soulmates are souls that we've spent so much time with that we don't trust anyone else but them to help trigger the things that need to be triggered in order to help us heal. Right? On a deep soul level, we love them enough and they love us enough to play the role that we need them to play to facilitate the healing that we need to facilitate in order to evolve our soul and to live our purpose. Our divine life partner is someone that's more in the energy of partnership, someone that we're here to co-create with, someone that we're here to celebrate and grow with and honor each other's path independently and then build something together. It can have some healing components to it, but it's not meant to trigger us constantly. A lot of healers attract what I call healies. Doesn't mean that those people are bad. It just means that we sometimes we can't get out of our healer role. And so whether it be friendship, whether it be romantic partnership, whether it be, you know, with really any situation, we can't help but wear the healer hat. And then we feel unfulfilled because we feel like it's a one-sided situation, or that we're always being triggered, or that we're always being of service. So a lot of times healers will attract people that they need to parent, or they need to coach, or they need to lift up, or they see their potential in that person and they want to fix them or build them up. And that's not the purpose of a divine life partner. The divine life partner comes into our lives already whole and complete and acts as a complement to what we are already creating and shares similar goals of where we want to go.
How can one know that one has found our divine life partner, according to your description?
That's a great question. Well, it will feel a lot different, and that person will likely physically look a lot different than what we expect, because our ego mind wants to already create a construct. We don't really realize we've created that construct, but when we meet someone, a lot of times they don't meet the expectations that we had. We didn't know we had those expectations, but it's not until meeting that person that we think, oh my goodness, what's happening here? With our divine life partner, we're likely going to question it, because as human beings, we're very cute and we like to question everything. Even if it matches exactly what we called in, we still like to question it and say, is this, you know, the job I'm supposed to take? Is this the friend I'm supposed to have? Is this the crystal I'm supposed to choose? We just like to question things because it's a bad habit and we don't know how to break it. But what I will say is, when we call in our divine life partner, it just feels different in our body. So for me, I've felt it very, very strongly in my solar plexus. I felt more expansive, I felt lighter, and I felt more powerful. What we can do is go into our records and set the intention of how we're going to know in our body, because our body is the best compass for that, right? It has no ego, so it's just going to tell us the truth. We don't have to sit and question things. We can just ask, how does this feel in my body? And this is how I'd like to feel it in my body when my divine life partner arrives. The other thing we want to get clear on, and we need to do the work beforehand, is to understand, well, what's the worst case scenario if I get into a relationship with someone and they're not my divine life partner, even if I thought they were? Because there's a fear underneath all of these kind of things. There's a fear underneath the questioning of, is this my divine life partner, is it not? And it has nothing to do with the person, and more to do with a pattern that shows up in other areas of life.
Does everybody come with a divine life partner written in their blueprint?
Most people do. I haven't met anyone that hasn't built that in. I'm sure it's possible. I just haven't encountered that, and I've done over 30,000 readings at this point, so I'd like to think I've had a pretty good cross-section of humanity in that time. I haven't seen it personally. We typically call in more than one divine life partner because we get to choose. So it's kind of like door number one, door number two, door number three. We will grow. We will get the same growth regardless of what door we go through. We'll just call in different experiences to facilitate that growth. But go ahead.
And how can one know which door is better?
There is no better door. But that's the thing about humans, is we're trying to live in the polarity of right and wrong. And the reason why we question things is because we either want to be right or we don't want to be wrong. And there is no such thing as right or wrong. We have the power to choose. We're conscious co-creators. We get to decide. Even if we receive exactly what we're asking for, we still get to choose whether we invite that in. So until we're willing to release ourselves from the old paradigm of I'm right or I'm wrong, a lot of this is going to feel weird, because the attachment is more to am I right or am I wrong versus I really just want to allow in my divine life partner, and or I really just want to allow in money or whatever it is that we're wanting to call into our energy field. Does that make sense?
I really love this term that you use, divine life partner, because many people, mm-hmm. many of our listeners are used to other terms like the right one, Mr. Right,
mm-hmm.
So that's why I was using the term right, because it's as you were saying, it's like consciously we are polarizing usually our perspective of life. So we have a right and we have a wrong kind of person to surround ourselves with. So I really like this definition that you're sharing with our listeners. Now, how can Akashic reading help us attract our divine life partner?
Well, the first thing we do in that is tune in and see if there is anything consciously or unconsciously that's preventing that person from letting in their divine life partner. If we're declaring that we want it, but it's not coming in, then there's something going on. It could be from a previous lifetime. It could be from this lifetime. Typically, it's a lot of different, little things that need to be cleaned up. And then on top of that, we need to be clear on who we want to call in, because the universe can only bring to us the degree of clarity that we have ourselves. So if we just say we want to share a life with someone, well, they'll bring us a ton of people, but they may not be the people that we, you know, want on a deep level. When we get clear, and the person I've called in, I was very clear. I was kind of... I was a little too clear, you know, like I was really commanding what I expected, and I wasn't willing to settle for anything less, in part because I have a very fulfilling life and I, you know, was ready to share it with someone, but I didn't need to call someone in. So that oftentimes drives why we're wanting to call this in, is because it comes from a place of need. And it feels very different to receive when we're in a needy energy versus when we're in a choosing energy.
So would you recommend meditation to our listeners to be able to get clarity on their intention?
Sorry, what was that?
Would you recommend meditation to our listeners to help them get clarity on their intention?
Yeah, meditation can absolutely help. Clarity is a state of being. It's not a destination. So people are as clear as they choose to be about anything they want to call into life when they're ready to receive it. A lack of clarity is simply a security blanket that keeps us safe from calling in what we want to have. Sometimes it comes from a place of, I'm not worthy of having it all. Sometimes it comes from a place of fear of getting it wrong, or fear of getting it right, or fear of other people attacking because life seems so great for us. And there's all kinds of reasons why we choose to be unclear. And I know that may sound a little bit weird for people hearing it, but I've just seen over the years that clarity is people become clear when they feel safe enough to become clear. So meditation is great, and there's still that component of, okay, I'm clear, now am I ready to call it in? We can be clear on our purpose, for example, but still not take action.
So for our listeners to understand, how is it that they can access their divine life partner through working on their Akashic records, we had talked about following this protocol online. Would you feel comfortable about doing it now?
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Okay, that's great. So we have 10 minutes left of the show. If we have any callers, I will let you know. Otherwise, we can use this time to show the protocols to our listeners.
Okay. So what does that mean?
So we had been talking about... following your work online. So we have 10 minutes left, so we could do it now if you feel comfortable about it.
Okay. What do you mean by following a protocol?
Okay, so we had talked about using myself to work as you would with any of our listeners that would like to work with you after we finish this interview. And in this way, we would show to them, because some of them have never heard about Akashic Records.
Yeah.
Some of them might be, you know, wondering how is this going to work? How is it that they're going to feel? So maybe we can do something online so that they can have a better understanding of your work.
Okay. Well, just to be clear, I don't do readings anymore. I teach and that's it. I do have a bunch of certified consultants on my site. I just want to put that up front so that people aren't contacting and wondering why I've done this and then I'm not taking people on for readings. But I'm happy to guide you through a process of what that might look like if people were to choose to work with someone to help them call in their divine life partner. So do I have your permission?
Yes, definitely. And they can do
this
through your through your website, right? So you can guide them, but they can still contact you on your website, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So do I have your permission to access your Akashic record?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so as I'm tuning into your record, I'm feeling some dampness on your chest would be the best way I could describe it. And I'm asking what that is, and they're saying grief. So when I share that with you, does that make sense as far as what's weighing on your heart?
Yes.
Okay, so that grief energy is keeping you from allowing more love in because you're trying to protect your heart with this, it's almost like a heavy wet blanket on your heart. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So are you willing to let that go?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm just going to speak to all levels of your consciousness that you're choosing to release grief through all dimensions, spaces, times, levels of consciousness, and beyond. Okay, so now I'm feeling that getting lighter. I don't know if you're feeling that as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So when are you ready to call in your partner?
At any time.
Okay. The energy that I'm being shown coming up, so they're saying to me that anytime you meet someone, you go into the energy of doubt. It's almost an instantaneous response where you go into doubt. Is this the person that is right for me, and do I actually want this? So where else are you spending a lot of time in doubt?
At work.
Okay. So it's kind of almost like a default button. Like it's easy to just hang out in doubt because it's familiar. So what happens for you is when you go into that doubting, it almost cancels and clears any energy that you called in. I want this, but it's probably not going to come in. It's very common, by the way, for people to have that. But it's also hard to create from that because at the root of it all, and I'm asking your guides what the root is, they're saying that you there's a part of you that doesn't believe you're worthy of having true love. So where do you feel that in your body when I share that with you?
In the chest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the correlation is we need to heal the worthiness piece, right, in order for you to really allow it in. So that way you won't be doubting what you're worthy of, whether it's worthy of a better job, worthy of a bigger paycheck, worthy of love, or worthy of anything else. Because how we do one relationship is how we do all others. Shows up differently, of course,
okay.
But the underlying energy kind of travels around. So I'm just going to tune into this. Okay, so this is a message that you receive from your father. There's a lot of disconnect there with that energy. So I'm just going to speak to all levels of your consciousness that you're healing any conscious or unconscious energy with your father from this lifetime or any other space and time, and clearing any soul contracts with the soul that is your father so that you're free to create love on your own terms in this lifetime. And when I speak to you in this way, what I'm doing, because when we're in the Akashic Records, we're also in your theta state where we program our subconscious or release program. So when we anchor new beliefs, we just start naturally behaving in ways that match the belief that we're holding. So in doing this, we clear out the beliefs that don't serve, we bring in the beliefs that we do want to hold, and then we just naturally and unconsciously start acting in ways that support the beliefs that we've chosen to call in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. How are you feeling in your body?
Fine. I guess I have some heat on my navel, but for the rest, I'm fine.
Okay. So I'm just going to assess your energy field to see if there's anything else that we need to be aware of that may be getting in the way of you calling this in and calling this in with ease and joy. Okay. So you are running, you're holding on to a vow from another lifetime where you were a nun and you took a vow of chastity and you took a vow of selfless service. So even if you were to call in a partner, there's a part of you that would feel guilty about being involved with them because you'd be betraying the vow. So if you tune into that, can you think of times where you felt some guilt or some shame around being in a relationship?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay.
But I do feel very related to a life of a nun.
Yeah, with sexual expression,
no,
that would be
all,
where it would show up.
Okay, yes, not at all, but I do feel some attachment to having the life of a nun, though. Actually, I wanted to be a nun when I was a child, so that's interesting.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so this is what happens, right? We create that world. In other lifetimes, we've created vows, but vows are permanent. They really lock into the DNA of our soul. They can travel with us in other lifetimes and still play themselves out, even though in this lifetime, for example, that's, you know, just not a relevant thing for you to be holding on to. So I'm just going to speak to all levels of your consciousness that you're releasing any vows as it relates to chastity and selfless service and clearing those through all dimensions, spaces, times, levels of consciousness, and beyond. And you can just let me know how that feels in your body.
It feels fresh now.
Yeah, it feels like things are neutral. So in this space, now that things have been cleared and there's a new canvas almost, right, to paint on and to create a different outcome for yourself, I would recommend what's coming true is that this is the time. Over the next, let's say, 24 or 48 hours is a really good time for you to sit down and get really, really clear on what you want. And don't be afraid to ask for more than you think you deserve, or don't be afraid to think that, and this is for everyone listening, right? Don't be afraid to think that you're sounding like a diva. Just put it out there on what you want. Because the more clear you can get, the more the universe is able to really understand what it is that you're wishing to call in. And even when it does arrive, you still get to choose because, you know, you're aligned with the energy of free will. So how does that feel to receive that?
It feels really refreshing. It feels like a life. Like the sense of life, you know, of being alive.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel that for you too. It's almost like, oh, there I am. Okay, now I'm free to really choose. And that's one of the benefits of
really
being in the records is that we align to the truth, right? The records are only love and truth. That's all that exists in there. So anything that isn't in alignment with love and truth gets bumped out of our energy field. The records are very good at quickly shattering illusions. And when we feel that illusion being shattered, we feel a freedom. We feel almost like a deeper sense of breathing and a greater sense of expansion because we don't have the weight of these falsehoods hanging around in our energy field.
So interesting. And I would like to share with the listeners a little bit of, you know, how is it that you feel at the other side. So it's very interesting because what you were saying was very aligned with the feelings that I was getting. Actually, when we first started, I felt a little bit, you know, like uncomfortable because, of course, we are doing a live show. And it's like I'm opening up and you're opening up so that we can share to our listeners all this information so that it can be of help to their path. So, of course, the first sensation was like a little bit of feeling uncomfortable, which, of course, when they have with you or to, you know, with the people that you appoint them to work with, they will definitely not have this sensation because it's supposed to be a private communication and a private session. But then everything that you were saying, in a way, has certain relation, both in mind and in body and in emotion, you know, inside while you were saying all these things. So many of our listeners, they're doctors and psychologists and work in the clinical world. And we also have listeners who are very developed spiritually. So I just want you all to understand that this is a very clinically based process. Like when Jennifer was talking about the theta wave, it's one of the brain, it's one of the wave brain, wave length of the brain. So it's not a woo-woo thing or exercise. It's not that we talked before what is it that we were going to say. It's not a show. It's something that really happened without me knowing what was I going to go through and without her knowing what is it that she was going to find. So I really wanted to make clear to the listeners that this is a live show and this is something that can definitely help you on your path if you are right now struggling or asking yourself about your life partner, about what is it that could be happening for you to prevent this from happening in your lifetime. So,
yes, I'm glad you clarified that.
Yes, yes, because we get, you know, we get listeners from all around the world. And, you know, people have, according to the place where they've been raised, the countries they've lived, the family they've been raised in, they have different beliefs. You know, they belong to different cultures. So, for example, you were brought up in a family that was very spiritually open. I did too. But there are many people who have not. So it's very important for them to understand that this is a spiritual practice, but spiritual practice does not mean that it doesn't have a clinical side to it. It doesn't mean that you cannot measure it. So if you've been struggling with having a life partner for this lifetime and you've gone through therapy maybe, this is something that can work in a complementary way to whatever other option you've chosen so far. So I was wondering, Jennifer, if you have any last words for our listeners.
Well, it's interesting that you share that because as someone that had a lot of training and worked as a forensic social worker for years and obviously still apply that, I bring that into the work that I do. And I've heard from many people that have come to me over the years that have said that they've gotten more out of one session in their records than they have for years of therapy. You know, that's not to knock any therapy. That's just to say that it works at the speed of light. It's actually a great tool for people to include in the work that they're doing because it goes so much deeper. And I'm a big fan of working very efficiently. I'm very solution focused in everything that I do. So this tool has been amazing at helping people shift lifetimes of stuff that they've just, you know, that have evaded them. They haven't known how to clear it any other way. So even if someone's wanting to add this in as a tool to the work that they're already doing, it's very, very effective. But even just as a tool to work on ourselves when things come up in sessions with other people, it can be very effective. And then, of course, working in our records to get clear on what may be holding us back to, you know, to calling in whatever it is we choose, whether it be a partner or otherwise. And the records, as I mentioned before, you know, it's almost like we're a universe, we're a bunch of sparkly stars in the universe, and maybe there's a few stars that aren't shining as brightly, but the viewpoint is that we're already whole and complete, and we're just making sure that everything is illuminating as brightly as it can.
I want to thank you, Jennifer, for sharing your experience, your intuition, and especially your work traits with our listeners today. We're very thankful. We feel very honored to have had you today here. Would you mind telling our listeners where is it that they can reach you? They can follow your blog. They can follow your work. Are you on social media? Can you please tell them how to contact you?
Absolutely. Well, I'm pretty easy to find on social media. I'm pretty vocal on there. I spend a lot of time on Facebook, so if people are wanting to connect with me there, I am there. Just search Jennifer Longmore, and you'll be able to find me there. And then as far as the work that I'm putting out into the world, you can visit www.souljourneys.ca.
Thank you, Jennifer, for being with us today. It has been an amazing experience, and we hope to have
you
here soon. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.